The Irish band Celtic Woman is in the midst of a 90-concert tour that makes stops in 75 cities across the United States, including a concert at the Hippodrome Theater in Baltimore on Tuesday night. Their latest album and DVD, Emerald, Musical Gems, debuted at number one on the Billboard World Music Charts. And that's nothing new for this quartet, whose international popularity is in many ways unparalleled. Their last 8 records debuted at the top of the charts as well. Here's a traditional Irish tune that Celtic Woman imbues with its signature contemporary take.
Tell me that the night is long. Tell me that the moon is glowing. Fill my glass, I'll sing a song. And we'll start the music flowing. Never mind the rising light. There's no sign of day or dawning. In my heart is still the night. And we'll stay till the morning.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Joining me on the line this morning from Washington, D.C. are two members of Celtic Woman, the violinist Mairead Nesmith and soprano Lynn Hillary. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Hiya.
So, Mairead, you're an original member of the band, the only original member still performing. I guess you all have been together about 9 years or so. How did the band get started?
Yeah, we're actually in our 10th year now, and we just got together for one night for your fantastic PBS network over here, and it was really just supposed to be for one night in the Helix in Dublin, the Helix Theatre, and we did our show, and we kind of realised something had happened on stage that night. There was a certain magic about it, and it just catapulted from there within that first few months to number one in New York. And, it was absolutely amazing, an amazing journey. And here we are ever since.
Lynn Hillary, you were in the band about 7 years ago for 3 years. Then you took a little break and now you're back in the band. What's it like coming back?
It's great. It really is great because I kind of forgot when I was home. I forgot how lucky I was, you know. And I know I missed singing, because, you know, it's very hard as a singer to get like such a constant work, you know. It's very hard to get jobs where you can be singing every night. I mean, as a singer, any singer will tell you that work is sometimes scarce, and then sometimes you get a big pile at one go. So, like, to sing every night, even though, like you say, it is tiring at times. It's, you know, when it's what you do, and it's what you love to do, it really is a treat, you know. And I had forgotten, really. I almost forgot how to sing, really, when I was home.
So, Mairead, this is a very, very active show. You all are moving constantly. How do you keep, what's your personal strategy, Mairead, for keeping your energy up night after night after night in a show that requires so many calories? I mean, really, when
I
it comes down to it.
I eat a lot.
Yeah. I hope so.
I think nothing substitutes passion for what you do. I think that's the main thing. And actually, it's not just us on stage. It's people on stage and off stage. We have an amazing crew. We have an amazing management. Our sound team, you know, Tom and James are incredible. Our lighting designer and director, Jim, is amazing. Our new lighting, our new stage, our new kind of production value of this particular tour, Emerald, has certainly brought up the level again. It's nice to, you know, being 10 years of Celtic Woman, it's nice to come back every year and actually see that, wow, we've actually made the bar slightly higher again, which is very, very important for our audiences. And you're talking about the energy and about, you know, expending energy every night or whatever. You know, I think we all get energy from the audiences every night too. You know, so it's like a cyclical type of movement. You know, you give energy and you get energy back. And, you know, your passion for what you do is conveyed to the audience every night. And, you know, it is a great workout.
Yeah, it sure is.
We look after ourselves too, obviously, and we kind of tend to eat well, and we don't party too much, you know, because, you know, the girls have beautiful, pure voices which have to be looked after. And also, from my point of view, as well as the mental element of actually playing the violin and minding my violin and everything else got to do with that. You know, it's a physical show as well for me.
Sure, because you're moving and playing all the time. Sure.
Yeah. So it's when you're doing a mental, cognitive kind of thing, you know, as well as a physical thing, it's actually a contradiction in terms, in a way. So to do them both together, you do expend a lot of energy, you know.
Sure.
So, but it's a great thing to do. It's our passion, you know, and we're so lucky to get to do it every night.
Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so.
The violinist Mairead Nesbitt, along with soprano Lynn Hillary, are part of Celtic Woman. They'll be appearing at the Hippodrome Theater in Baltimore on Tuesday night on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. We're listening to the iconic Irish tune, O Danny Boy. This is a somewhat traditional arrangement, even. Lynn, how do you decide how to set these tunes? You do some contemporary music, some traditional music, and some music that even is composed, although it sounds traditional. How do you mix the repertoire and decide what to put on your playlist?
Well, that would be David Downes's call. He's our musical director, and he takes care of all the musical decisions. And he would, you know, he not only kind of chooses the pieces, but he also arranges them himself, you know, and he puts in there, you know, an Irish kind of maybe a Celtic traditional flair into something that may not be Celtic, you know, into maybe a Billy Joel song or, you know, a Van Morrison song, and he'll make it, he'll give it a little bit of an, not too much, but sometimes a little bit of an Irish lilt to it. So yeah, he kind of takes care of all that, but we have had some input over the years. We might some of us have dropped ideas for songs in his head, and then maybe years later that the song might appear in the show. Mm-hmm. That's happened a few times.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it's good. But you know, he's really good at we really trust his judgment, you know, because he's really good at sort of picking what's right for each vocalist, going with what they do best, you know, what style of singing, you know.
Sure. And Mairead, here's a tune that features you on the violin called The Coast of Galicia. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
I wonder, you know, having been at this now for 10 years, I mean, do you find a need to sort of reinvent yourself after such a long and successful run? I mean, I think of things like the three tenors, you know, there's been probably a dozen groups that have tried to sort of replicate and copy that. As far as I know, there's really nobody trying to do what you all do, but is it a challenge to keep it fresh and keep it new for audiences year after year?
Well, again, we've such a great collaboration between David Downes, our musical composer and arranger director, and us, and also our fantastic band as well. You know, I think keeping something fresh, luckily for us, has come quite naturally. You know, it's been fantastic, and really it's a lot, most of it really is down to David, obviously. And, you know, that's his responsibility is the music, and our responsibility is the performance on stage, and what we can deliver in his beautiful songs and arrangements. And basically, for instance, for me, for Emerald, for the live show, we have brought back, David and myself made the call to bring back Butterfly instead of Coast of Galicia, actually, to re-inject Butterfly with a new, completely new arrangement and a new kind of feel. And actually all the band get to do solos in it. And it's just such a great moment because they get to showcase what they can do on stage as well. And it's, you know, the audience really love it because they kind of, you know, they're going from one person to the other going, wow, God, that guitarist is brilliant, that bass player is brilliant, you know, that drummer is brilliant, you know. They get the few different tastes of people's solos, and Tommy and the Ellen Pipes as well. So you know, so that was a call that we made. And also, Grainne Whale's Dance is a favourite that people wanted to hear from me, and you know, it's a collaboration that that David Downes and myself did a few years ago that has still survived to this day. So I'm happy about that. So, you know, we have a great time kind of bringing back, you know, injecting new life into things, and then obviously infusing the show Emerald then with new numbers also.
The violinist Mairead Nesbitt, along with soprano Lynn Hillary, they're two of the four members of Celtic Woman. Their new album is called Emerald Musical Gems. They'll be at the Hippodrome Theatre in Baltimore on Tuesday night. One performance only. We'll have more information on our website. Come to WIPR.org/Marilyn Morning and we'll get you to where you need to go. Well, Mairead Nesbitt and Lynn Hillary, thank you so much. It's been a delight talking to you.
Thank you so much.
On 88.1, it's Marilyn Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Before we leave you this morning, we want to take a moment to say goodbye to our senior producer, Stephanie Hughes. Stephanie is leaving after 3.5 years here on our show. She's left an indelible mark on Marilyn Morning, and we want to highlight just a few of the stories that Stephanie made happen.
Stephanie sought out stories and issues you might not hear much about elsewhere. In 2011, she produced a series on midwifery in Maryland. She followed it up with a piece in March last year about midwives who practice illegally in Maryland. Stephanie spoke with one of those midwives who preferred to go by Sue, her middle name.
Sue says she didn't start out with the intention of becoming a midwife. She had a good home birth experience herself and started attending births soon afterwards. That was over 30 years ago.
It was about 7 years of studying and working with other midwives and going to as many births as I could in as many settings as I could and learning as many skills as I could before I finally was convinced by a young woman to take her as a client. And I did attend her birth. You know, I gave her prenatal care and did her birth, and that was it.
For our award-winning series on inequality, The Lines Between Us, Stephanie produced powerful stories about the gender pay gap, job training, and the stigma of addiction. And she reported for our series and for NPR on the city's Vacants to Value program back in the fall of 2012.
2 years into the program, about a tenth of the city's vacants have been rehabilitated or are on their way.
Stephanie spoke with Rob Moore, who is planning on rehabbing vacant homes to rent out.
Though it may be slow going, people like Moore say it's necessary work.
I think the vacants paint a picture of what the city is, you know, a broken down city. The sooner that the vacants are taken care of, I think people will start to take Baltimore more serious.
As you can hear, Stephanie found just the right voices to tell the stories that swirl around us here in Maryland. Several years ago, she tracked down the sailor and nurse who kissed in Times Square at the end of World War II and were immortalized in a photograph.
So when I was walking down into Times Square, when I saw the nurse, well, the excitement of the war over, and I had a few drinks. Everybody was happy, so I grabbed her.
Stephanie was so excited about that interview. When you first meet Stephanie, you might not recognize how determined she is. She's soft-spoken, almost tentative, but there is steel in Stephanie. She goes after the story she cares about and doesn't take no for an answer. We're going to miss her as a producer and as a co-worker. She'll always be a friend.
Stephanie has great journalistic instincts, a terrific ear, and a big heart. Next month, the folks at Bloomberg News in New York will find out just what a wonderful friend and colleague she is. All of us at Marilyn Morning wish her all the best in her new adventure there. Thanks, Stephanie, and good luck. I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a great holiday weekend. Back with you Monday.
Canal Street in April when it's 60 and the snow is melting fast. It's still shady in the morning when you're laughing in your t-shirt running past. In Tompkins Square Park, a couple is meeting. Say what you want, but I feel my heart beating. 'Cause I love springtime in New York, springtime in New York, I do. Springtime in New York, when it's May and the leaves are on the trees. When demolishing a building brings the smell of 1892 to the breeze. On First Avenue, our couple is fighting. Springtime is